So next week, we will be back in a regular scheduled location. Just very quickly, a short thought on the parasha, and we'll jump right into the sugya today. This past parasha Tzav, had the famous idea of the Korban Toida. And what's unique about the Korban Toida points out the Netziv, that the Korban Toida had 40 lachmei toida, 40 loaves of bread, which is a lot of bread to eat, as well as a very short amount of time to eat it. So the Netziv pointed out, why did the Torah structure it that way? And he explained that because the Torah wanted you to be able to spread the word with as many people as possible. Being that no one human being can eat so much in such a small amount of time, the only way to do it would be if you invite your friends over, make a party, you make a simcha, and therefore you spread the idea of hoidah. So I think that the Netziv is teaching us an important lesson when people experience moments in their life that they feel very grateful, they should spread it with the world. Tell people, share it with people, let people know, invite people, include people. That's the true way to express simcha, is by inviting others and including others as well. Okay, let's jump right into it. We have over here a new sugya. We are now getting heavily into the sugyas of Kibbutz Ava'im. And we're going to learn today a Gemara, which is unbelievable because it's accepted lahalacha. But if you stop 100 people on the street, I guarantee you 100 people will tell you they never heard of such halacha. So let's take a look at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Kedushin Laman Aleph Amid Beis, number one, Amalei Rav Yaakov Bar Avuah La'Abaye. Rav Yaakov Bar Avuah says La'Abaye, they're talking about Kibbutz Ava'im. So Rav Yaakov Bar Avuah tells Abaye, Kigoin Ano. Let me tell you about me. Let me tell you what I struggle with when it comes to Kibbutz Ava'im. Why? The Ad Osinna Mibei Rav, when I come back from Yeshiva, Abba Madali Li Kisa. My father pours me a cup of drink. The Ima Mazgali, and my mother pours me. Hey, Avid, what should I do? I come back from Yeshiva at the end of Seder, and my parents are waiting there. Both my mom and my dad are waiting there to give me drinks and food. What should I do? So if you look in Rashi for 1 second, number two, Rashi says, what's the problem? What do you mean, what should I do? So Rashi says, Shani Ohuv La'avi, I'm loved by my father. The Yakir Li'imi. Now it's interesting. I didn't see anyone be aimed on this. What's the difference between Ohuv and Yakir? We know they mean different things. They're different levels of love and admiration. So he says, I'm loved by my father and I'm valued by my mother. And they do this for me. They love me so much that when I come home from yeshiva, they're waiting to give me a drink and they're waiting to give me a snack. My answer, what should I do? So most of us would say, what's the problem? Take it and move on. So clearly he felt that there's some pigam in Kibbutz Ava'im if your parents are going to serve you. This is something that you're supposed to do for your parents. Your parents come, you give them a drink. Not that you come and the parents give you the drink. So listen to the Gemara's answer. On Malay, he said to him, Me'imcha kibo. From your father, you should accept it. Right? If your father gives you something, take it from your mother, I'm sorry. But if your father gives you something, don't take it. Why is that, Gemara? Kivan debar toiruhu. Since your father is a Torah knowledgeable person, chol shei daite. Very strange what this is supposed to mean. Chol shei daite literally means he gets saddened, he gets weak, he gets depressed. What exactly is the flow of the Gemara over here? The Gemara says that if your parents offer you something, so from your mom you should take it, but don't take it from your father. Why? But the Gemara makes a condition. Why? Kivan devat Torah. So let's say your father's not about Torah, so then you're allowed to take it from your father. So your father brings you a cup of coffee. You say, Dad, I know you're not such a big Talmid Chacham, so I'll take the coffee from you. Sounds very strange. But the way the Gemara sets it up is from your mom, you can always take. From your father, it depends. If he's a Bar Torah, whatever that means. What does it mean today to be a Bar Torah? Who knows? What's the definition of a Ben Torah today? We'll have to see. But says the Gemara, if your father is a Bar Torah, you're not allowed to take it. Why not? Chol Shedaiti. What does that mean? Look in Rashi number two. Rashi says, Chol Shedaiti, Im Tekab Mimenu Avoid. Your father will get weakened. He'll be depressed. He'll be bothered if he accepts the service that you're offering him. So there's a lot of kashas right off the bat on this Gemara. Pashup shot in the Gemara. First of all, what's the difference between the father and the mother? What's the difference if your father's a Bar Torah or not a Bar Torah? And perhaps the most glaring question, which we'll see, the Rishonim and the Marsha clearly ask, what happened to the idea that a father's allowed to be Moichel is covered? Ha'av shemachal kvaydi, kvaydi mochel. So if my father wants to give me a cup of coffee, that's his want. I'm not forcing him. So for Ekti Rishonim, we'll see it's really Merumas too, perhaps in the Tesis Riazakim, but it's clearly asked to the Marsha, what do you mean? What happened to Rav Shemachal kvaydi, Av Shemachal kvaydi, kvaydi mochel? Every parent today serves their children. Every parent helps out their children. What's the answer? The answer is because the parent is Meichel. So why can't the father be Meichel here also? So if you take a look at the Tesis Riazak in number three, he seems to be about warning something, but it's very unclear. He writes, Hoyo v'hi roitze b'kach. Why am I allowed to take it from my mother? Because she wants it. Zehu kvoide. This is a very important phrase to remember. This is already coined. See, it's not the Riyazakin didn't make it up. It's really a Yushalmi, which we'll see in a few minutes. Ritzoina zehu kvoide means that letting your mother serve you is the biggest way of serving her. Meaning, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Avuha's dilemma was, how can I let my parents serve me? That is the exact antithesis of kibud aveim. On that, the answer was no. When you let your mother serve you, that is kibud aveim. Ritzoina zehu kvoide. So now the question is, so then why is it not true like that for the father? If ritzoina zehu kvoide, when I let my parents give to me, it's like I'm giving to them. So why is mom different than dad? Says the Tzvi Hazaken. But nonetheless, don't take it from your father. Why? Shu chacham. He's a chacham. Because your father is knowledgeable and he'll get depressed by this. So again, what's the difference? What's the difference between your father and your mother? So I think perhaps in the Tzvi Hazaken, it's very vague what the Tzvi Hazaken means. I'd rather have a mahalach that maybe what he means is the following. The father understands good what kibud aveim is all about. The yisoid of kibud aveim is parents, is children serving their parents. Parents serving their children is the opposite of kibud aveim. It's the opposite. It's the exact opposite of what kibud aveim is supposed to look like. So your father says to himself, listen, ich vashtei, maybe I could be moichel. Oh, but this is wrong. Now, this behavior of having the children being served by the parents is not the way it's supposed to be. So avada, maybe mom doesn't mind and mom doesn't care, but ich vashtei good. Meaning chacham means he understands the way that he understands that the relationship is supposed to be one way, not the other way. Fortunately, we live in a world today where everything's backwards. Today, the parents have to answer to the children, not children answer to their parents. But Zok, the Tosfos via Zok, and the father chaps, he realizes that if I'm going to serve my child, that is not the way it should be. So they have Zok, the Tosfos via Zok, and that's the difference between a mother and a father. By a mother, this is what the mother wants. This is her greatest nachas. Right? Mothers always say, this is my greatest nachas, to serve my children and bake for my children and do for my children. For the father, maybe it's a nachas, but because the father fashteis, not that the mother doesn't understand, we're not knocking women chas v'shalom, but the father has like a deeper understanding that kibud aveim should go one way. So if kibud aveim should only go one way from children to parents, not vice versa, this is not a good idea. Therefore, that's the chol shadait. That's what I think perhaps the Tosfos via Zokin is alluding to.
But if the father understands that it's not a good thing, why in the first place is he giving him the
Oh,
cup?
very good. Very good. That's what I want to get to. Right. That's what I want to get to. So that there's one way to learn. We'll see if Chaim Kanevsky deals with this also. It could be the Pashut way is he's not really into it, but he's like forced into it. He's cohorted. He has no choice. His mother said, the wife said, listen, Tatlo's coming off from yeshiva, get him a cup of coffee. Okay, I gotta do it. My wife said this is what they expected. But deep down he says to himself, this is so wrong. This is not the way it's supposed to be. But it's a good kasha. We'll see if Chaim Kanevsky is gonna deal with it in a few minutes. Now, if you look at the Marsha on the Gemara, he's already bothered with the kasha. Fact the Marsha, what happened to the rule of Avshem Machal Kvoide? So the Marsha writes in number four. Fact the Marsha, I don't understand the whole Gemara. What is the problem if the father serves the kid a drink? The father is willfully agreeing to it. So he's being Meichel is covered. If he's being Meichel is covered, the Gemara says he's allowed to do it. So what's the big deal? Answers the Marsha, no. Hainu HaKovet Talmud Lasis the Rabbi. Says the Marsha, big yisoid. And this Bli Neder we have to keep in mind when we actually get to the sugya of Harav Shemachal Kvoide Kvoide Mochel. That does not mean that the Rebbe and the father can turn into a shmata for the child to step up. That means those activities that a child should do to a father, the father could say, it's okay, Tatala, I don't want it. I mean, let's say, for example, something normal that a son would do for a father. The father could say, it's okay, I know you're busy. You don't have to take me to the doctor's office today. Even though I know that's something that a child should do for a father, I also know today you have a big meeting and you have the kids at home, so don't come take me to the doctor. So that's what it means you can be moichel. But says the Marsha, but over here we're mamish asking for the father not just to forgo his kibbutz. We're asking the father to do the exact opposite of his kibbutz. We're asking the father to do something that his son should be doing to him. So therefore, zok the Marsha, something like that doesn't work. So again, why not? The father's saying, I want to do it. Meaning what the Marsha's answer is that when it says in the Gemara, Harav Shemach HaKvoidei, V'av Shemach HaKvoidei, that does not mean the father can just give up all his rights to keep it aveim and say, it's fine, treat me like one of the guys, treat me like one of the kids. No, it means that the father is allowed to waive those jobs that normally a father would do to the son. The father could say, it's okay, I don't want it done for me. But for the father to do something which is the opposite of keep it aveim, maybe we can coin it a bezoyon ha'av. For the father to serve the son is so opposite of kibud aveim that he's not allowed to do. But the kasha is, like Stewie pointed out, but the father said he's okay with it. The father said, oh, no one forced the father. The father got up and said, I want to serve my son. So they asked this kasha to Chaim Kanevsky. I was bothered by this. Number five, Sheila. The Maseches Kedushin Amalei Reb Yaakov Barvu Labai Kiganana. He quotes the whole Gemara. So if you look at the last line, he says Vekasha. Given Shenasan Hakoyis Lebnoi Harim Mochel Ben. For the Sheila asked Reb Chaim Konevsky, I don't understand the Gemara. The father willfully gave the son the cup. The Kivin Shein Kan Bezayin. He's assuming there's no Bezayin over here. I would have argued. I would have said the way the Mashal is setting it up, maybe this is Bezayin. When the father does an activity that the son should be doing for the father, maybe that is Bezayin. But the questioner to the Shoyal, to Reb Chaim Konevsky, thought not like that. So he has a kasha. Why doesn't Mechila work? So he answers, Tshuva answers Reb Chaim Konevsky. Chazal Shi'uroi Shigam Acha Shemocho Chol Shadayte Ve'en Kan Mechilas B'Lev Shalom. So Reb Chaim Konevsky's answer was, no father really is Meichel. He says it. He might express it, but he doesn't really mean it. Again, you know, we have rules for these things. Ram Shabalei Ve'enam Dvarim. We have Klolei. The guy says he's Meichel, he's Meichel. So it seems like the way you have to understand the Gemara is that there's a deep feeling of the father with which does not want to consent to such an activity. So why is he doing it? Pressure from his wife, pressure from society, pressure from whatever. But he deep down doesn't really mean it. And therefore, it's not mutter under the banner of Kibar Aveir. If you look in the Levush, he gives us a little bit more of an insight of what's going on over here. So he writes, Kvar Amarnu B'Sifu Tes, number six, Sha'av Shemochel HaKvoide Kvoide Mochel. The father wants to forgo his covet he made. Lefichach, therefore, Hema'av Roitze L'Shores Es HaBen Mutal L'Kabba Mimen. So he understands the Gemara, if it's a regular father, then it's working with Mechila. The father wants to serve his son, it's Mechila. But says the Levush, Hema'av Hu Ben Teiru. And what happens if the father is a Torah scholar? Lo Yikabba Mimen. They're not allowed to do it. Why? The kibbutz of Torah who chol shadaiti v'le'ovah kol kach mitzayin ha'toyv. Says the Levush, if he's a regular guy, if your father's a regular guy, then there's no problems. Says the Levush, you can take it from him. Why? Because av shemach ha'kvay, the kvay de'imachol. He's allowed to forego his covet. However, zok the Levush, like it says in the Gemara, if he's a devar Torah, if he's a talmud chacham, then you can't. Why not? But look at the words of the Levush. Kibbutz devar Torah who chol shadaiti, he's going to be depressed. V'le'ovah kol kach mitzayin ha'toyv. And he did not do it fully with his heart. So this Levush sounds like what Reb Chaim Konevsky was getting to. Now the point over here is it's not 100% his ratzos. But why not? Because he's a Talmud Chacham? Because he's a Talmud Chacham, he can't fully give in to his son? What's the connection? It seems like from everyone, and really from the Gemara, that if your father's a regular guy, a lovely, wonderful father, a great father, takes care of his children, but he's not a Talmud Chacham. Okay. So then there's no problem. Your father can do anything he wants for you. But Zogti Gemara, but if your father happens to be a Torah scholar, whatever that means, we'll have to get to. What does it mean to be a Bar Torah? What constitutes a Talmud Chacham? But let's assume your father is, right? Your father is a Rav, he's a Rosh Hashiva, he's a Rebbe, he's a whatever title you want to give to someone to make him a Talmud Chacham. So then I'm not allowed to do it. Why? Because Chol Shadayti. But my father's screaming, I want to bring you the cup, I want to give to you. So says Levush, he doesn't really mean it. So it sounds right to like Reb Chaim Konevsky. But again, what's the lumdus here? Why doesn't he want to do it? So I think the way to learn is, like we said, from the Marsha. Is because your father says himself, this is so wrong. This is not the way Kibbutz Avim is supposed to look. This is not the way Hashem wants it. Hashem wants us parents to be served by the children, not serving the parents. So therefore, he's perhaps more bothered or more troubled by a non-Torah scholar who fashteis Kibbutz Avim is a big deal in the end. But in his mind, he doesn't view it as such a terrible thing.
But Reb Chaim did not make a differentiation.
But what?
Reb Chaim did not make a differentiation between a bar Torah or not.
Right. He was just working it into the Gemara. But again, you're going to have to assume it makes that difference because the Gemara says it. And we'll see la'alocha, it's definitely assumed that Bar Torah makes a difference, lagabe taking things from your parents. He was just explaining, even if he's a Bar Torah, he's still not a Mechila B'Lev Shalom. But there's a whole nother mahalach in the sugya to learn from the Chai Adam. If you look in the Chai Adam number 7, he has a whole different mahalach in the Gemara. We want to learn now that the difference between a Bar Torah and a non-Bar Torah is because a Bar Torah is more sensitive to Kibbutz Aveim. He understands that the idea of Kibbutz Aveim is supposed to be parents to children, not children to parents. So he doesn't really want to serve his child. The Chai Adam has a totally different mahal. And really, according to the Chai Adam, it has nothing to do with Kibbutz Aveim. Says the Chai Adam, number 7, in Ma'av Roitz L'Shar says Aben, if the father wants to serve his son, Mutu L'Kabba Mimen, you may accept it. Elim Keno Av Ben Teiru. Unless the father is a Ben Teiru, the Belavach he also L'Shtamish Ben Teiru. You're not allowed to take service from a Ben Teiru. I mean, according to the Chai Adam, it's not the pshat because my father is chol shadaite, because like we're suggesting, my father says to himself, this is ridiculous. I'm not the sugi's in Kedushin, and I went all over Shas, and I know Kibbutz Aveim is supposed to go one way, and here I'm serving my son. Ridiculous. No. The pshat is you're not allowed to take services from a Talmud Chacham. So if your father happens to be a Talmud Chacham, So now it's not so much a problem of kibbutz of aim, but now it becomes a problem of kavod haTorah. So according to the Marshal and Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the problem over here is a kibbutz of aim problem. My father's not really moichel. According to the Chayyot, I mean, you have to know how it fits into the Gemara so much. Kibbutz of haTorah who chol shadait, it means he's bothered by the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham. A chutzpah, how are you going to ask your father who's a Talmud Chacham to bring you a cup of coffee or a cup of water? Now, the truth is there should be a simple nafkamina. You ask your friend's father. Right? Your friend's father is no kibbutz of aim. Well, your friend's father happens to be, right? You know, kids play with other kids and kid goes to the house of his friend. His friend's father happens to be the Rav of the shul. Okay. So they're all having, you know, Shabbos party. And the kid says, oh, I want a cup of drink. So the Rav, who's a good Rav and a good father, he goes to the fridge and brings the kid a cup of water. So can that kid take that cup of water? It's not his father. And obviously the father's willing to do it, but he's still a Talmud Chacham. That L'chayri should be a nafkamina between the two ways of learning the Gemara. But let's take a look over here in a more, let's break it down one more level. If you take a look in the Ran in number 8, the Ran comes up with a Gevaldik Chiddush, which I think is very relevant to Halacha, even though we don't pass him like the Ran. The Ran says, top line, number 80, says, Umiyu im hoya oviv makbi b'dover harbe yikabel. Says the Ran a Chiddush Gadol. Let's say your father's insisting that you take it. Then you have to take it. When it says in the Gemara that you're not allowed to accept from your father and only from your mother, that's when your father's not like pushing you to take it. Okay, you want a cup of coffee? You don't want? Fine, don't take it. But if your father's insisting, right? He spent a lot of time working on it. He toiled over it. He made it. He holds it such a yummy thing. And he tells, no, take it, take it. And he keeps on pushing you. Zok deran, if your father's insistent, you're allowed to, then you should take it. What's the difference? Well, what changed? So if you learn like the Marshal and the Levush and Reb Chaim Kanievsky that it had to do with the fact that deep down he doesn't want to do it. But if he's insisting, then deep down he does want to do it. I mean, if the guy is begging you and kvetching you and making you nuts to take it, then we know deep down he really wants to give it to you. Meaning, if he was only doing it because his wife is pressuring him, and deep down he says to himself, this is so wrong, parents shouldn't be serving children, and I'm doing this on protest, but I'm just doing it because my wife said so. So why are you pushing? Don't insist. You did your job, and then move on. But Zog the Ran, if you insist, then he has to take it. So to me, this Ran makes the most sense if you hold like the first way we'll learn. That the difference between a father and a mother is that the father is a Talmud Chacham. He says to himself, deep down, I'm not on the bandwagon over here. But no, I'm doing it to make my wife happy. I'm doing it because it's socially accepted that parents give their kids drink. But Dr. Ran, if the father's insisting, so then it's almost like we're getting into his brain. And now we know he wants to do it.
But is there
so
a difference?
He wants to do it. It's not a problem.
Is there a difference between asking and taking?
Very good. We're going to get to that at the end. We didn't get to this all yet. We're going to learn a Chiddush from this in Kairalis, which again, is not widely practiced today. This whole sugya starts off with the parents initiating. What happens if the kids initiate? So I put it on the page, not because it's a halacha shir, but I just had to get it out. It's unbelievable. He says, it's asagam. He says, what head did the children have to ask their parents to do favors for them? Now, I don't know how they raise the kids in Bnei Brak, but we all know that's not the way it really goes in our homes. But we're going to go through it. It's unbelievable. And it's all based on this gemara. Because if Nissen Karel points out, in this gemara, there's a mile over here. At least the parents offer. But for the child to ask his mom and dad, chauffeur me here, take me here, make for me here, this. So we'll have to get to that. But that's a very good point. That the whole case of the Gemara is when it's coming from the parents. And then still we see from the Gemara that from the father you're not allowed to take.
Well, according to the Ran, so halach lamaisa, we don't do, but so if the father says, no, this is what I want to do.
Yes.
So you change the definition of kibbutz av aim, everybody
so,
else.
Again, So if you learn the Ran the way I want to learn the Levush and the Marshal, that the Pshat was really, we never know what the father wants. He's playing games with us. But now we know clearly what the father wants. It's like what Rabbi Azakin said. Kvoid, ritzoin nezel kvoid. Now we know this is what dad wants to do. When the dad offers you the drink because mom makes him, he doesn't really want to do it. But when he's insisting, now we know he wants to do it. Now, what about if you hold like the Chayodom? If you hold like the Chayodom, it's not about Kibrav, it's about Kibra Tamil Chacham. So Talmud Chacham is allowed to be mevaz himself because he really wants to do it. So that's a shtickle problematic for me. This Ran, I don't see how well it fits with the Chayyadah.
But your underlying philosophy or reason is that it's not a good thing for a father to be serving a son.
And that's so why
that's
he's not.
That's regardless of whether the father says, you know what, I want to do it anyway. It's just not a healthy thing. It's not.
I'm saying, but that what motivates the father not to be moichel. The reason why the father's not moichel because he says to himself, I think this is morally wrong.
Right. So that has to follow through in every case. You can't change that. That's
unless
a fact.
Unless the father feels in certain situations that it's worth it for me once or twice for me to give to my son. This is so important. This is so valuable. I want to give to him. I hear what you're saying. It's a good point. Meaning, if the father believes al pi hashkafa, it shouldn't change, unless the father feels
Right.
that this is something that's
So
so
it's
important. You
not, it's,
know,
if that's hashkafas Torah,
right?
so
So it
it's got
could
to
be the
remain in
father
all
agrees
cases, no matter
that
what
there
the
are
father
times
thinks.
where it's so important for the father. You know, this is so important. This is what makes the father happy. We'll come back to it. We'll see in a second. Now, where did the Ram get this from? Who told the Ram this chiddush? Does not sound like that from the Gemara. So the Ram says he got it from a Yerushalmi. Let's take a look at this Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is brought down in the first parak of Peah. We'll see the Yerushalmi is also brought down in Taisis by us. So the Yerushalmi says like this: Imo the Rabbi Shmuel's mother once came to Yeshiva to talk to his Rabbein. Amra lahem, she said to the Rabbein, Garu b'Yishmael b'ni, I'm very mad at my son Yishmael. She'enei noig bi b'chvoid, he doesn't show me kavod. Imagine the mom of Rabbi Shmuel comes into the Beis Medrash. She tells the rabbis, "Rabbis, I want you to know my son Yishmael is not going to keep it aved." So you can imagine the Rabbein's response. Well, what do you mean? This crap new pinei, and they were so embarrassed. What does this mean? My son doesn't keep it aved. So Amru, they said, "Efshel Rabbi Shmuel she'enei noig b'chvoid avoisav, can that be? Rabbi Shmuel sitting and learning Torah all day, such a holy man, he's not careful to keep it aved." So Amrin lo mahu avidloch. So they said to him, "Tell us, what are you referring to? Give us, you know, sometimes, you know, parents call up Rabbeim and the Rabbeim say, I don't know, I don't see that in the classroom. It's very different. What am I missing?" So she told him back, Amrin lo kanafik mi beis vado, ono beina mascha ragli mashti mehen. When he comes home from yeshiva, I wash his feet and I drink the water. That was her practice. So I came across this Tosfos many, many years ago. I told my mother about this Tosfos. She told me, don't even think about it. Right? That was what I told. That's what my mother told me when I came across this many, many years ago. I came across this Tosfos. She said nothing doing over here, right? So what happened? So he didn't. She drank the water, v'loishavikli, and Rabbi Shmuel doesn't let me do it. So I'm mad at my son for not letting me drink his water that I bathed him in. So Amri. So they said to her, "Hoyel v'hu noi." So they said, the rabbi said, if this is what she wants, then this is what covet is. Mikan Ran, if you see from this Yushami, when you have a persistent mother who very badly wants to serve her son, you're allowed to allow it. So too with a persistent father. Now, what's the obvious kasha on the Ran? Mothers and fathers are not the same. We know that from the Gemara. The Gemara already told us that mothers and fathers are not the same playing field. Mothers can easily forego their covet, while a father is much more difficult. So what exactly, where did the Ran see this from the Gemara? How did the Ram compare the Yushalmi to Asugi? Yushalmi was talking about a mother. So by a mother, we have a rule. Mothers are much more easygoing. They want to give to their children much more. So on a mother, we say, Ritzayin is out kvaid. Where do you see that on a father? So the Chayra, again, if you learn like we're learning, it's very gishma. Why? Because what's the svara of Ritzayin is out kvaid? Ritzayin is out kvaid means that there's a concept that when the parent wants to give, that's kibbut aveh. So by a mother, we know when mothers want to give. Do we know when a father wants to give? No, because fathers play games with us. They do one thing and they really mean something else. But Zok the Ran, but when you have a mother, like Rabbi Shmuel's mother, she is obviously very, very much wanting to give to her son. She was the extreme level of persistency in giving to her son. And the rabbis allowed it. Why? Because when someone deep down wants to do something, that becomes kibbutz aveim. So same thing with the father. The whole problem with the father is we're playing guessing games with the father because he's telling us on one thing. He's doing it, but then he's telling us, you know, I don't really like this because I think it's more. But if you're persistent, so whenever you're very persistent, so now the idea is you hold that this is covered, so therefore it's mutter. So somehow the Ran was able to figure out from here that if we have a persistent mother, again, this is the most extreme level of persistency. Drinking the kid's water is very high level of ratzayin imay. So too, when you have a father, even if he's a talmid chacham, but if there's a persistency there, now we know the father wants it. If the father wants it, zehu kivud. Okay, now we'll see. This Ran is not negiah halacha lemaisa because it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It does not make it onto the page of Shulchan Aruch. Now this Ran would be fantastic, right? Because this Ran would be the answer to how every father does for their kids, because it's a form of persistence. I don't want my kid driving themselves, so I want to drive them because I'd rather they not do something dangerous, so I'll drive them. I don't want them spilling the entire bottle of soda on the floor, so I'll pour for them. Sometimes I taka want to give to my child, or because I feel very, very strong about it. But if you take a look in the Birkei Yosef, he disagrees with the Ran. And he writes, Va'afilu yakbid harbe, even if the father very much wants it, lo yikabel mishum deloisagi deloishal shadait. Says the Prichah, there's nothing to it. The Beis Yosef is quoting from the Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash says that even if the father is insisting, it doesn't make a difference. The question is, how do you want to learn the Pri Chadash? So you can learn the Pri Chadash one of two ways. One way you can learn the Pri Chadash is like the kasha that we had on the Ran. That there's no Makar anywhere that says persistency makes a difference. Either you shall me with the mother, Rabbi Shmuel, that's because she was a mother. And mothers are different than fathers. That's one way you can learn the Pri Chadash. I think the other way to learn the Pri Chadash maybe is that we never know what's in a husband's mind. He could be very persistent, but deep down, like Stewie's point, he's persistent, but deep down he says to himself, this is a bad statement to make. I'm persisting because whatever reason I'm persisting. Oh, but deep down I feel to myself, this is a bad precedent to be laying down, and therefore he's not really meichel. So this is an interesting machloekin between the Ran and the Pri Chadash about would it make a difference if the father's persistent or not, and it might be totally in how you understand the difference in the Gemara. Now we come to the Beis Yosef. Comes along the Beis Yosef in number 10, and he quotes our Yushalmi. Karsini Yushalmi, Chamashay, Imashay, Bishmol, Kiblu, Allah, the Rabbi Sein, he gives us the whole story, we'll skip it, and let's jump to where it says, Upasak Rabbeinu Yeruchim, Kain, Bein Ba'ovi, Bein Be'imoy. Rabbeinu Yeruchim paskins that when it comes to persistency, it's the same thing for the father as it is for the mother. If there is a deep want, like a Bishmol's mother, who desperately wanted for some reason to drink the water of her son's feet, then you're allowed to do it. And Zok the Rabbeinu Yerucham, whether it's a father or a mother, which basically means he holds like the Ran. So Rabbeinu Yerucham is in the same camp as the Ran, that whenever there's a certain level of persistency on the part of the parent, then without a doubt you're allowed to accept. Comes along the Beis Yosef and he disagrees. Veli nira the ikka leflugi b'milsa. Says Beis Yosef, there's a big difference. Beinim aviv ben teira, ve'eim eidam ben teira. Says the Beis Yosef, that Yushalmi is a very, very big difference. That Yushalmi is a mother. Mothers are not b'nei teira. So therefore says Yushalmi, if your mother is persistent, you're allowed to take it from her. But a father who's a ben teira, under no circumstances can you accept anything from him. Therefore says the Beis Yosef, if it's a father, and he's a ben teira, nothing doing, even if he's persistent. And he says, he quotes our Gemara. And therefore, the Beis Yosef, like our kasha on the Ran. Beis Yosef said, no, the Yushalmi only works because it's a mother. A mother's not a Bar Torah. Once you're a Bar Torah, you have absolutely no right to be Meichel, which means the Beis Yosef is clearly disagreeing with the Ran. And for that matter, the Rabbeinu Yerucham. Look what it says in Shulchan Aruch.
But what category does this fit into? You have two assays that are kind of presenting themselves to you. Like you're making a distinction, right? They're making
which
a distinction.
Two?
No, I'm saying so. You have the kibud of
right,
and then you have I guess the hadart of bnei zaken, whatever. I'm not sure what the of the tamal kavam, right? So I'm saying
right.
So
he's suggesting. So again, depending on how you learn the gemara. Either the Gemara means that the father doesn't really want to forgo his covet, or the pshat is that the father is the Talmud Chacham, he can't forgo his covet. So I'm not allowed to accept it from him. Even if he's pushing me. He's saying, listen, I spent 2 hours baking this cake for you. I spent an hour schlepping to, you know, I went to 20 different stores in the neighborhood because I know you like this bottle, you know. Son says, I'm sorry, Dad, I can't take it from you. Right? Because the Gemara says, I'm not allowed to take it from you. So if you hold like the Ran and this persistency, then you're allowed to take it. But the Beis Yosef said, I don't hold with that. I disagree. And if you look in Shulchan Aruch, it's Meduyah. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Simin Reish Mem. Ha'im ha'av roitzu l'sharis esaben. If the father wants to serve the father, mutter l'kaba mimenu. You're allowed to take it from him. Ela im kein ha'av ben teiru. Unless the father's a Talmud Chacham.
It's interesting that, like the Rani was going to talk about two essays, it's kaveda savicha v'esimecha. It's the same exact pasuk. So, but you're learning it the same exact.
Right. Process. Well, again, there's a whole machlokes we're showing him if it's two separate mitzvahs or one mitzvah.
Right, but I'm saying that the Torah reads it the same way, and yet you're applying different standards.
Correct.
Right.
The chiddush of this gemara is that the way you're going to honor your mother and father are going to be different. It's a gevaldik chiddush. It's a very important gemara because the gemara is saying that the way mothers and fathers work out differently, their wills and wants are different, and therefore halacha is going to be different. 100%.
Really getting into tamei mitzvahs.
Correct, right. Correct. You got to figure out what each parent wants. But L'chayru, the Mechaber is Meduya. What does it say in the Mechaber? He says clearly that if your father's a Talmud Chacham, game over. Ela im keno av ben teiru. What happened if the father's persisting? Doesn't matter. So this is the Beis Yosef L'shitasai to what he, this is the Shulchan Aruch L'shitasai to what he wrote in the Beis Yosef. That persistency doesn't matter. The fact that you want to give it to me, so what? I'm not allowed to take it. So which means the Shulchan Aruch does not pass on like the Ran, which we already know from the Beis Yosef, which means if you have a father and a son and the father's a Talmud Chacham, the child can't get anything from his father. I can't hear you, Stewie. You know? Oh, you got okay.
Rabbi,
let's take a look
Rabbi,
in.
I have a
yeah,
question.
Yeah, sure.
Does all this conversation about Talmud Chacham apply if the son is the Talmud Chacham and the father or mother is not?
So we're going to believe that to talk about that. That's a Geshmaka Sugya we're going to have to deal with. What happens when the father's a Talmud Chacham and the son's a Talmud Chacham? The son is the father's Rebbe. It's going to get very, we'll get to all of it. Billy Nether, it's a whole sugya. We're going to get to it. I don't want to give dates because I'm usually wrong, but Billy Nether, we're going to get to it. It's a Geshmaka
And just
sugya.
To be equal, what happens if the mother is a big Talmud Chachama and the father's not? Does that make a difference?
So the pashtus is, we discussed this once in the past, I think, we don't really normally respect them as that. There might be, there is such a concept of Eishas Talmud Chacham. That may be a different child. What about if she's an Eishas Talmud Chacham? Well, obviously, if the father's a Talmud Chacham, she's an Eishas Talmud Chacham. But it seems like for this halacha, no one seems to make such a distinction. But that's a good point. Now, take a look at this sefer over here. I found the sefer. Well, he asks a legitimate question. I don't know. I'm not sure who the author is. He writes, when we call Mokam Asfar Bezek Kosher, he says, well, so let's be practical, right? Im Yodea the Yitzhar Oviv, V'omelei Kach Beferish, Ma Hasfar Shalishma. Fractum Akasha, how do you argue on the run? What happens over here? Your father runs around for 3 hours trying to find your favorite drink. It brings you this coffee and you say to him, Dad, I'm not allowed to take it. Dad's like, no, take it. Sorry, Dad. You're causing your father more pain and anguish. How's that permissible? I mean, how could it be if your father is standing there, listen, I spent money, I spent time, I spent effort, I just want you to have this. And you're going to tell your father, no, I don't want to take it. Doesn't seem to make sense. So he says, a chiddush gadol, he says, l'chein yesh loymar, da'akorchach le'polaga beis yosef v'apichodesh ela b'mavtzir v'adayin le'boroloi. He makes a big akimta. And the whole machlokes is talking about the gray area. You don't really know how much it's going to bother your dad if you don't take it. But he says, but if you know turning this down from your father is going to cause him tsar, then avada avada you're allowed to do. I don't agree with that assumption. It doesn't say that anyway. That's a big condition. It should have said something, right?
Rabbi?
Yeah, Michael.
I think that's Rabbi Ginnack, Berachas Yitzchak. Isn't that Rabbi Menachem Ginnack's sefer?
I don't think so, but maybe.
I mean, there is one. There is one Berachas Yitzchak.
I don't remember.
I know he makes a Berachas Yitzchak. I don't know if that's his.
I don't remember. I don't think so, but again, I can double check. I mean, that's a big akimta to make in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say that. None of them are trying to make this distinction. It's either, so to me, it's a tzarichin to say it. What do you do with the kasha?
It makes sense because you're not a close your father tsar.
Correct.
So, no, but
the only problem is.
He's questioning the whole idea of Mechila.
This takes us back
about
to
a
square
king?
One.
What about a king?
Right, the whole notion of Mechila. If we think the Mechila might be questionable, so then it's not really Mechila. So again, I think it's a big chiddush to learn the Sugya this way, with this in the back of your mind, that the whole Machloik is between the Beis Yosef and the Ran and the Pichalish is only a case where you don't know how the father's going to react. Now take a look at this. If you think for a second that these Gemaras are not Alibu de Hilchasa, take a look in the Sefer Derech Sicha from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Tells you a story. He says, "Pamachas higati me yeshiva habeis. I came off from yeshiva. Va'aba higishli koistem. I brought my father brought me a cup of tea. Omeli achaznish shle eshta. The chaznish said I shouldn't drink it. Mishum divri hagemar now because of this gemara.
Wow.
Can you imagine? Halach l'maisa. Chaznish paskin. The gemara says if your father's a ben taira, you don't think the stipler was insisting? Doesn't matter because the Beis Yosef doesn't hold of insistency." According to the Beis Yosef, again, obviously the stipend was a Lekuli Alma Moida Abar Taira. So Dr. Chazanish, you're not allowed to take from him. Unbelievable. Okay, again, not that this is a halacha shir in any stretch of the imagination, but I just want to show a couple of interesting Maamar Mekayimus about this topic. First of all, the quote over here, a sefer called Kavod Hayrim, he writes, B'tshuva hanalu b'alichas oilam kosev agonu b'vadya sef shlita. He quotes from a b'vadya. What's the gedder of a ben Taira? This is very important, right? What does it mean to be a ben Torah? The Gemara says, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that if your father is a bar Torah, he's not allowed to serve you. Okay, what does it mean to be a bar Torah? Writes Rebbe Vadyo, Shegeder ben Torah, She'os l'kabo, l'bnoi l'kabo menu, Hainu Talmud Chochum, Be'erech Hador. He's a Talmud Chochum, meaning in that generation. Right? Each generation, we have a different perception of what a Talmud Chochum is. So if in your generation, you're perceived as a Talmud Chochum, then you're a Talmud Chochum. La'fuke balabayis ha'kevei itim l'teiro, if you have a good balabas, he's kavei itim, he goes to shurim, he learns daf yomi, he does everything that he's supposed to do. That doesn't make him a talmud chacham. That's his chiddush. I saw one place. They wanted to end a Talmud Chacham means he's a baki in Hilchas Kibud Aveim. Why should that matter? Because the way we're learning is very gishmak. Because the guy who's a baki in Kibud Aveim keeps saying to himself, this is ridiculous. The whole Kibud Aveim, the whole idea of Kibud Aveim is to teach a relationship between children and their parents. And here we're reversing the order. We're going the other way. But either way, again, I'm not passing halacha l'maisa, what makes someone a Talmud Chacham, but I thought this was interesting. But now let's go back to Ronnie.
If the father puts him in front of the son, he's overlooked Meiver. He's real Talmud Chacham.
That's correct, right? It's a very strange, again, I don't see how that works in the simple dynamics of our family. So I know what everyone's going to say. The father's Meichel. But that's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So again, I'm not giving this halacha, but just for fascinating purposes. Now look in the Chutzani, this in Karelis. He says,
Maybe he's not being Meichel on his covet as a Talmud Chacham. He's being Makbid on his covet as a father.
Yeah, but the Gemara says he can't do that. That's the problem.
His cover, but can he be machbid on his equal cover?
So that might be the machloikis rishayim between the Ran and the Beis Yosef. The Ran says if the father's insisting, that means this is what he wants. So you cannot negate the father's wants and you have to take it. While the Beis Yosef and the Prichadish say no, he still can't. And we assume, presumably, now I did see some paiskim say that if it's a very touchy situation, you can always rely on the Ran. But to be fair and honest, we saw it together. The Shulchan Aruch clearly does not go like the Ran. And even in Beis Yosef is even more clear. And I saw Rebbe Avadya also paskins like that. The Shulchan Aruch does not hold to the Ran. But I did see some later Achrenim say, listen, if you're in a tough situation and your father's insisting and it's going to get awkward and it's going to get messy, so Kedai Lismaych al Ran, you can rely on the Ran and take it from your father if it's going to be, you know, going to be a whole commotion and a whole big deal. So listen to this Chutzan. This is what Ronnie was referring to earlier on. Also, levakish me'aviv. You're not allowed to ask your father something. I'm saying the Talmud Chacham. Your father's not a Talmud Chacham, but you're not allowed to ask. The whole Gemara was after the father asked you. The father initiated. He offered, but to you ask you to ask your father for something says when this in Karel that is aser. V'chei me'imai, same thing from your mother. Kigalin the chabur says ha'or bechad. You ask your mom to turn off the lights. Oy lahavi loy sefer. How many of us have not done this? Every child in the world does this. Mom, bring me this. Mom, get me that. Dad, get me this, right? This is what we all do as parents. Says in this in Karel, it's based on this Gemara. It's awesome. Okay. Now he gets even more detailed. Kishim is super mishulch when you're sitting at a table. Also levakish me'ima tavili melech matzad hasheni shal shulchan. Let's say you're sitting at the table with your mommy. Mom, can you pass me the ketchup? No, you're not allowed to do that. That is awesome. Wow. Elim kein shoyel. This is what you have to do. You have to ask your mother, ha'im yesh melech b'ktzeh hashulchan? Is there salt at the other edge of the table? And if mom and dad on their own get up and bring the salt, that's okay. Now, that's only if dad's not a Talmud Chacham. If dad would be a Talmud Chacham, that would also be awesome. I'm not sure what you're supposed to do. Just look at the salt. Dad brings the salt. You're not allowed to use it. Let the salt stay there at Sheyav Elio. The Munach at Sheyav Elio. The nearest, says Mr. Karel, Sha'af Imloy Oma Balosh and Tivoy, El Kanal Bader Sheilo. But even if you asked it as a question, but the Kabanot Soy Sheviulai. You asked it with that tone of voice, is there salt at the end of the table? And, you know, hoping that, basically telling dad to bring it to you. That's as if, you have to be really good at this. I don't know which kids are that good at being able to relate to their parents that they're just asking curiosity about the salt as opposed to asking them to bring it.
It's like Amir Lachim on Shabbos.
Exactly. It's like Amir Lachim. You got to be careful how you say it. That's why I'm not, I just thought this because either we in America have totally no sheikhs to keep it aveim and right. The B'nai Brak, they get it, or I don't want to say chas v'shalom the other way around, but there might be a happy medium somewhere in between. There might also be a certain amount of just the way we work. I don't know. Baruch Hashem, this is not a halacha shit, so I don't have to get myself into this. But we did mention, if you remember, many weeks ago, we quoted a tshuva from the Klausenberger Rebbe. Klausenberger Rebbe said he was already bemoaning the fact how in the Jewish world, keep it aveim has already become very desensitized. He said same thing by the Goyish world. So we definitely all agree that the way parents treat their children today is not the way it used to be. And if you speak to people from the previous generation, they know it's different. So we'll leave it at that. But I just want to give you another example. He says, if your father has a car, today people have more cars than they have people living at home. You can't ask your parents to take you somewhere. Yeah, really? Haven't parents became glorified chauffeurs for their children? Isn't that our purpose? You're making your father a shliach. Your father is not your driver. Your dad is going there anyways. Right? How many parents drive the kids every morning to school because the kid missed the bus, didn't get on time for the bus, and we go out of our way to drive our children? So again, that's not right. Now, what happens if the parent wants it? Because the parent knows if I don't take my kid to school, the kid's staying at home. I don't want that either. So I don't know. So again, just to give you some examples of in the mind of Reb Nissen Karelitz, who did not live so long ago. It was nifta a few years ago. This is the Hasaga of Kibbutz Avaim in Bnei Brak. Now we'll go one more story, and then we're going to get back to the sugya. If you turn to the next page of the Ma'amar Karim, I had to put this in. This is a personal story with Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Again, just to give you a Hasaga of what Kibbutz Avaim should look like. He tells us the following story. She'elo. Someone asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Mahadin, Oviv Hoylich Limsor Mishlech Manus B'Pur Mavor Mitzvah Satzim. The father says, I'm going down the block to give Shalach Manus to my friend. In B'no Yochel L'Shalchem Gam Avuroi. Can the son say to dad, oh, you're going there anyways. They have a son who's my age. Why don't you bring the son Shalach Manus for me also? Right? Bring it for me also. Is that a halachic concern? Tshuva, answers of Chaim Kanevsky, lo yasekein. Do not do that. Ele yagid lo oviv, shetzarech gam hulim, sir. You should tell your father, dad, you know, I also have to give Shalach Manus to that house. Vizeh artsuye kameh. And then the father will hop on his own and he will offer to do it. Then he tells you a story, personal story. He says, Kished fasti pirush Hashem or choysov, al sefer Orchas Chaim LaRosh. And I wrote one of my svarim on the commentary on the sefer Orchas Chaim LaRosh. Hayisi magia, I was fixing it up. Vetzrachti l'shalchel tfos, I need to send it to be printed. Abba nechnas eilai, my father came into me. Chalisi, I was sick. V'shachavti imchoim, and I had fever. V'sipurlin, he told me, shecholach atal matfis im hagoysov al sefer shalom. He's also going to the printer to print his hagos and his sefer. Amarti loy, I said to him, kam yeshli hagos. I also have a fixing up. But Omarli, he said to me, I'm sarimli. I should give it to him. Give it to me. I'll take it to you. So masarti loy, I gave it to him. His man had foster shall sefer ze erech kamashon. It took years for this sefer to be printed. It schlepped out, terribly schlepped out. Zman loy shigarti. Omarli abo. Your day ato madu ato erech zman kozei rab. You know why it took so long? Ki masarta oisamli. You gave him over to me. Again, the stipend over here offered. Stipend offered. But since it was like you were sending me, that's why the sefer was delayed its printing. Just a hasaga. Not that I understand any of this, because we all, again, maybe we all know that we do everything for our children, and anything for our children, we bend over backwards, we take them, we run, we go, we do. I don't know. That's what the Gemara said. That's why
it's
I started off with this Gemara. This Gemara is one of those Gemara. Again, it's Halach and Shavar, that if you stop 100 people on the street, you'll get 100 people saying the other answer. They'll say, of course you do. That's a parent's job and that's a parent's role. Again, I am not getting involved in that. I'm just showing you what it says in the Gemara. Now we can move on. This next Gemara. If you think that was wild, look at the next Gemara. Says the Gemara, Reb Tarfin Havilei Imo. Reb Tarfin had a certain mother. Source number 17. They didn't have ladders in those days. His mother slept on a high bed. So whenever she needed to get out of her bed, he turned himself into a human ladder. And just to show you what it means to do for your parents. So Gochen V'Salaklei, so when she needed to get up, he laid down, she stepped on his back, and she went up the ladder. And when she needed to come down, he laid down, she stepped on him, and came onto the floor. That's what it means to do Kibbutz Avaim. So listen to this. Says the Gemara, also become Ishtabech V'Meibidrosh. So Reb Tarfin, you have to know what this means, but Reb Tarfin came in one day, and he was boasting, he was bragging about the type of Kibbutz Avaim that he does. So the Achronim already asked, that's not Reb Tarfin's style. You think Reb Tarfin came to Beis Medrash, he said, look what I did last night. Look at my, you know, status. Look what I did. Look at a picture of me, the human, you know, the human ladder for his mother. Okay, whatever reason Reb Tarfin felt it important to tell the rabbis. But that's not the best part of the story. Amri Leih said to him, Adayin Leigat L'chatzi Kibbutz. He said, we're not impressed. Big deal. Why? Did you ever have a situation where your mother took your watch, your mother took your money belt, your mother took your cell phone and threw it into the ocean and you didn't get mad at her? Come back to me when you do that. So it's obviously a Peledik Gemara. First of all, give him credit for what he did. Right? This would never work in the chinuch systems today. You tell that to the kid's going off the dark. Give me credit. I did a big deal. So what was the response back? The response was you get no credit for being a human ladder because you never did something greater. And then the obvious question is, why is that greater? Why is that better than being a human ladder? Is it that someone who allows his mother to throw something in the yam? But let's just deal with Taisus for a second over here. Taisus tells us another story. Yesh B'Yushalmi. Yushalmi tells us, Pamachas A'ime Reb Tarfin. There was a story once with the mother of Reb Tarfin. Ovda Pizmoki Dido B'Chatzeiro. Sounds like she lost her sandals or her slippers in the Chatzer. The Atzasa Mimitasa Levakshu. She went looking for them. The Som Reb Tarfin Yod Tachas Ragle Al Karka. But because she didn't have any shoes, he was afraid that she'd step on something. So he put his hands under her feet, and she walked on his hands. She like tintoif raglo, so her feet shouldn't get dirty. Just to show you what these Amoraim did for their parents. It's unbelievable. Then the Taisus quotes the story that we saw earlier. Whenever Yishmael came up from yeshiva, hoisa rechetzes as ragloi, she would wash his feet, hoisa shoises amayim, and she would drink the water. And we saw this already. He went to the rabbis, and the rabbi said, let your mother do it. So there's a technical cash on this Yushalmi. What happened to Bal Teshaktsu? We're not allowed to do disgusting things. This is pretty repulsive. You take your son, you wash his feet, again, his sweaty, dirty feet, and then you drink the water. Why forget Kibbutz Aved? Good. So Yushalmi said, you're allowed to allow her. What happened to Bal Teshaktsu? That's a law in the Torah. You can't let your mother violate a law. So the Paris Yosef writes, Koshuli, number 19, the Avra Bal Teshaktsu, Shidaiva Bal Teshaktsu. So the Lomali, the Kibbutz Aved, he says, the Kibbutz Aved, Choshev Etzla, Loi Choshev Bal Teshaktsu. Since it was Choshev to her, it's not Bal Teshaktsu. She looked at this water as Poland Spring fanciest bottle of water. It was disgusting. It was sweaty feet. Not to her. This was the most valuable bottle of water in the world.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Why is nobody asking the threshold question about why you're allowed to let her wash your feet in the first place? You should never get to the point where she's drinking the water because you shouldn't be doing the first part.
Nope, so that's what I guess the first time it happened, he stopped her. Well, the truth is, obviously it must have happened once. Then he stopped doing it and she said, no, I want to keep on doing it. So I guess he watched her drink it. Again, for all we know, she could have drank the water without him being there, but he knew about it.
But the Shaila is, he should never, first she has to say, let me wash your feet.
Right.
The question is, are you allowed to let him wash the feet?
So initially, right. So I hear David's asking, how did the ball ever get off starting in the first place? I mean, she comes over to him, she says, I don't let you wash my feet. So then she got a little mad and she went to the rabbis and the rabbi said, you have to allow it. So now he allowed his mother to wash his feet and drink the water. So Frecht asked him, how does he allow her to drink the water? The rabbis paskin that she's allowed to drink, she's allowed to do this. And it's not a breach of Kibbutz Aveim. But the kasha that the Achrayim are asking now, why isn't it a breach of Bal Teshaktsu?
The second part.
The second part, the follow-up, right. So if you look in the Daki Dovid number 20, he gives a different answer. Also interesting, he says, V'yesh l'chalik, tezeu davka b'dvarim hanim mo'asim mitzar atzvam kishratzim b'remosim. Bal Teshaktsu is if you drink or eat something which is intrinsically repulsive. He says the water is not really gross. The water doesn't look repulsive. It's only because you know the backstory behind this water. Right? If you wouldn't know the backstory, it looks like a regular bottle of water. So therefore, he says, and for her, this water was valuable. So if it would be intrinsic, meaning if the mother said, I get a geschmack out of eating bugs, you know, in honor of my son. So that wouldn't work. But over here, the water itself is not intrinsically repulsive. It's only because of the backstory that he washed his feet in it. Assuming, again, this is also assuming that when you wash your feet in water, the water doesn't become intrinsically dirty. I would have assumed that someone has sweaty feet and then you wash it, now the sweat gets into the water. So now it's nimas memela. It's automatically no longer feasible. But it seems like the Daki Dovid is assuming that it's possible that the water is still not so repulsive. It's only repulsive because of the story. So for the mother, this was her greatest knock. But the truth is, if you look in the Me'iri has a different version in the Yushalmi. The Me'iri writes in number 21, he quotes the Yushalmi. He says, number 21, I want to wash his feet shavakli, and he doesn't let me. So he didn't learn anything about drinking the water. According to the Me'iri, it was just, he stopped it right away. He comes home, Yeshiva's mother says, sit down. He's like, okay, mom, what? She's like, I want to wash your feet. Son says, no way, mom, that's disgusting. That's not right. And that's when she went to the rabbis. So the Me'iri writes, Masi ragli or mashtamayim. Some girsas have it that she wanted to wash his feet and drink the water. The ena miusheris. It's not right. What's not right? So first of all, you can learn the Meiri Kipshutoi, that wasn't the version of the Yushalmi. The other pshat is that's not allowed, like the Achrayim are asking. That we would never allow to happen. She would never be allowed to drink the water under any circumstances, and therefore, for that reason, the Meiri took out that line of the Yushalmi, where he didn't have that girs. But let's go back to the Gemara for a second. The Gemara told us that when Reb Taffy came to Beis Medrash, telling us about the Kibbutz Avim that he shows for his mother, the Gemara said, we're not so impressed. Why? Because you never were tempted with your mother taking your arniki and throwing it into the yam. So why is that a bigger level of Kibbutz Avim? So if you look in the Marsha writes in number 22, Kidarminam ba'almo, b'yoyisit tzorech ha'kosev lahazer hecha de'ikach sarnkis. We all know that whenever money is involved, everything's more complicated. So enachanam, you turn yourself into a ladder for your mother, but it didn't cost you a dime. It hurt a little bit, maybe uncomfortable, didn't cost you. But if your mother would come and take your new iPhone 15, throw it into the river, she would take all your money, throw it into the river, and you're going to be out money, you're going to get upset. Therefore, Zog the Marsha, that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush was, Zorik Arni Kiliyam is because there's money involved. Whenever there's money involved, right away people have a harder time dealing with their emotions. But I found a very nice mahalach over here in the Amesifta. Amesifta is a journal printed out from Tarva Das. They quote over here from Reb Nosson Kamenetsky, Zatzal. And we all know Reb Nosson Kamenetsky as the son of Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, but he also was very involved in starting Itri, right, Chaim? Right? Reb Nosson Kamenetsky was very involved together with Rabbi Elephant in starting Itri. And Rabbi Kamenetsky, Reb Nosson Kamenetsky is perhaps more famous in his later years for his controversial book. The controversial book of Making of a Gadol. Now, it's actually even more interesting is because I put Yaakov Kamenetsky right next to number 24. Number 24 is an Oris from Ablyashev. Ablyashev was the one who banned his book in 2003. It's like Reb Yaakov Emden being next to Reb Yonis and Eibshitz being buried next to each other after all that's said and done. Now, the truth is, if anyone is interested, Reb Nosson Kamenetsky gave a very lengthy shiur on this topic. It's on YU Torah. I urge you all to go listen yourself. I could tell you bits and pieces, but you can hear it yourself. It's over an hour and a half. He talks the whole history of the book ban, how it happened, why it happened, and it's fascinating. And according to his interpretation, it was all based on misinformation. All based on misinformation, and it was really not, shouldn't have been banned. But I leave you to that. If you go to YU Torah, you put in Nathan Kamenetsky, the something of a ban, something to do with book and banning, and you will hear the whole shiur. What I like about it is he confirmed something which I always knew growing up. When this book came out, there was a big tumult. So my Rosh Hashiva, Zalig Epstein Zatzal, at that time was alive. He always endorsed the book. He thought it was a fantastic book. He thought it was a good book for Bachim to learn, and you can hear and learn a lot. So right now I have a copy of the book. Someone gave it to me. So I learn it. That's my Einik Shabbos. I read it every Friday night for Einik Shabbos. It's fascinating. It's unbelievable. So I didn't know this, but Moshe Kamenetsky points out that Reb Zelig actually sent a letter to Ablyashev to try to get Ablyashev to undo the ban. Because as Reb Moshe Kamenetsky points out, Reb Zelig speaks English. Ablyashev doesn't. So when Ablyashev never read the book, he doesn't speak English. Someone told him what it says in the book. We always know how that works, right? So I don't want to give away the whole shit, but I urge you all, if you want to read more about this, if you're fascinated by the whole story, and if you're curious, if you want to buy a copy of Making of a Gadol on eBay, as of Thursday, it was running at $29,000. $29,000. If you're curious, I'm just saying, throwing that out there. If anyone that badly wants to buy one, 29 grand, you can get your own copy of the Making of a Gadol. Now, the truth is, if you don't want to spend 29 grand, you can get it also on PDF online. It's actually in a PDF form. It's annoying to read it that way, but it's in a PDF form. You can just click on it and read it as you go along. But that's fascinating about Nas Kamenetsky. But either way, he was obviously a big Talmud Chacham. He was a Rebbe. He was a Magid Shir. He was a son of Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky. He himself was quite a... And you should know, it's kedai to listen to it, how he speaks so respectful about Reb Ablyashev. The man who banned his work, the man who authored a book that he spent 15 years of his life on, the man who, because of Reb Ablyashev's psak, he said his grandchildren were not getting shidduchim. He speaks about Reb Ablyashev with the most respect you can imagine. It's really a gadol. Nas Kamenetsky was a real gadol. Whether or not you agree with the book or not, it's a fascinating listen. If you have a long car ride, it's kedai. It's like an hour and a half. So if you have a long car ride ahead of you, I tell you, listen to it. It's clear. He's very pleasant to listen to. He's a historian. You'll enjoy it. But let's get back to his Torah for a second. So Reb Nosson Kamenetsky has a gavaldik mahalach in this gemara. Rav Nosson Kamenetsky suggests Pshat in this Gemara is a little different. He says that one of the yisoides of Kibbutz Avayim is you're not allowed to think that your parents are crazy. It's probably the hardest part of Kibbutz Avayim. When your parents make decisions, when they say something, you have to somehow in your mind figure that they're right. Even though you say to yourself, they're so wrong. They are missing the boat. They don't understand how the world works. We all know the lines. We've either said it or heard it. But Zok Rav Nosson Kamenetsky, that is wrong. The mitzvah of Kibbutz Avayim is you somehow have to get into your mind that there's a pshat in why they're doing it. You know, just same way if you go to a gadol and he tells you something and you're like, he missed the boat. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But if you're a real mime, you say, no, I obviously am missing something. He's smarter and wiser than me. I just don't understand. Says Rav Nosson Kamenetsky, it's the same thing with a parent. When your parents make decisions that you say to yourself, what are they thinking? What were they thinking? What are they thinking? You're not allowed to do that. Says Rav Nosson Kamenetsky, that's pshat in the Gemara. When the Gemara says your father throws, your mother throws your person to the, that is an illogical response. How are you supposed to make sense of that? He says, that's why it's so hard. The reason why it's so hard, that's harder than, it's easy to be a ladder for your mother. She needs someone to stand on, so you're doing it. How am I supposed to, in my mind, rationalize why my mother took my wallet with all my money in it and my credit card and threw it into the ocean? There's no rational, normal thinking person does that. Nothing, that's your job. Your job to say she must have had a cheshbon. She must have felt that there's a bomb in my wallet, and if she doesn't throw it into the ocean, it's, I don't know how you're supposed to do it. Don't I don't understand it. But Zoktim Nasan, that's the godless of the Gemara. Because an act that is so irrational, you have to somehow try to ration. That's Pshat in the Gemara. That's why it's so hard. Not like the Marsha who learned because it's Chasar and Kitz. It's not about the money. It's about the irrationality of it. It's such an irrational thing to do. And if I'm peeking, you have to try to come up with a Mahalach to try to understand why it's a just and acceptable thing to do.
Is there an assumption that your mother is normal or not?
Yeah. We're assuming that she somehow did not lose it yet. She's still with it. And for some reason, she's doing this. Maybe she's trying to teach me a lesson. Maybe there's a message here. That's the way he understands the Gemara. Okay.
Like in Parsha Shoftim, your men are small. You know.
Right, exactly. The same again. People do it with the Rebbes and they do it with Gedolim. You got to do it with your parents also. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for coming online. I appreciate it. Mitzvah Shem, next week, we will be back in person. Okay. Enjoy, everyone. Have a wonderful week. And Mitzvah Shem, Tuesday night, we'll be back in person as well.
Thanks, Rabbi.